listener production. From geek cups to sippy cups, these boys fill them all. It's Matt and Alex all day breakfast.
Matt, I never asked you. I totally forgot to ask you. How did, after All Day Breakfast 1000th show last week, how did your hosting duties go at that sort of film industry conference go? Because we were coming up with some absolute gold for you to say on stage last week.
I did it. I did that
You
bit.
Did the gold?
I did that.
Okay, well, Bron, you need to pretend. I need you to be the audience here because I know the jokes I was going to say. You need to pretend.
No, I'm not going to do them here. It's not going to make any sense here.
Okay, you need to pretend that you're in the film industry, okay?
Yeah.
And you work with all the actors, but also the crew, you know, the people who hold the boom
lights. No.
You know all the credits at the end, you see like
sandwich
key
maker,
grip,
yeah.
And you see best boy, and you see assistant directors, and you see all that sort of thing.
Yep.
All right. So, Matt, I want you to say exactly what you said on stage to
this
room full of
terrible.
Film producers.
Give it a go. This is literally going to be terrible.
That's all right.
All right, let me get into character. hold on. Okay. So I'm talking to my wife. All right, I'm talking to my wife. I says these crew shortages. They're driving me crazy. She says, Matt, get a grip. I says, how? I can't afford it. I can't compete with Marvel.
So a grip being someone who works on the...
I'm still going. She says, don't worry, Matt. Let's just kiss and make up. I says, make up? They're going to want 3 trucks.
And you had another one as well, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, there was a... I don't want to...
Give us the gold, mate.
I'll do it at the very end.
The very end of the pod. All right, stay tuned. Make it all the way through for a special outro from Matt O'Kine. Let's dive into it.
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Matt and Alex, all day breakfast.
Hot.
Take
this.
Yes, that's right. It is a new segment of ours, Hot Take It Away, where we get the spiciest takes, Alex Dyson. I mean, these are things that people are not, they're not just going to say, you know, here and there. These are things that you need to put the smolten metal gloves on.
Yeah. They're going to be causing rifts in families, friendships, potentially countries. We don't know. We get to decide afterwards on the scale of how hot the take is. But today's hot take comes from Alicia Barr, who's giving us a call right now from Adelaide. G'day, Alicia Barr.
Hi. How are you going? Hi, Bron.
Oh, hi.
As well.
Bron is here with the welding mask on, Alicia.
I called it smolten metal. It's molten metal.
Yes.
Just to clarify.
Which could be smoldering.
It is, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So now, Alicia Barr, you're ready to go. You've got the welding gloves on. And what are you willing to serve us up?
Alicia Barr, hot take it away.
Hot take
this.
My hot take, and this is obviously going to upset people, is that I think that colour blindness is not as big of a deal as people make it out to be.
Oh my God. Okay, this is not what I thought.
And this is obviously very rich coming from a non-colorblind person.
Yeah. Are you going to be suggesting that people in wheelchairs are just, you know?
No, just let her elaborate, Matt. Don't jump in yet.
Okay,
I'm not going to go that far. No. But my husband is colorblind, and it just seems like at times, if he concentrates a little bit harder, he can make out the right colors that he needs to. It's like practice, and it takes time to learn. And it's just like harder for colorblind people, but they can get there. They can learn the colors.
Okay. Yeah. So you're not saying it's not as big of a deal in that it's like, no, they actually can see it, but you're saying it's not a big deal because the colors are muted in a lot of people's vision, but if they can learn it off by heart, they don't need to go and make a big song and dance about it.
A bit of both. Like sometimes he'll be like, you know, like I'll ask him to get me something and I'll use a colour to describe it. And he'll say, I don't know which of these items you want. And then I'll say, well, what do you think? Like I asked for the thing that was like green. So which of those do you think is green? And she'll go, well, I think it's this one. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, you knew that the whole time. Like, you just didn't, like, you just have to try a bit harder. And you, like, oh, you know, God. Like, it's,
I have you had this conversation with him, Alicia Barr?
Yes, and he wants no part of this because even though
what
being
does he think of
my evidence, oh, he kind of, like, he disagrees with most of it. But then he said, the one thing he said was he was like he likes to do art and like draw, but he only ever draws in black and white. And his thought was that maybe he's like not confident with colours. So now he's limiting himself even further. So I feel like he's kind of admitting that maybe he's letting this define him more than it should.
Okay, wait. You know, now, is there levels of color blindness? Because I'll be straight up. I don't necessarily understand the condition much. So the fact that we've got three people. Okay, Alicia. Sorry.
Firing up the burner today,
so wait,
Alicia.
We currently have three people on this podcast who have no idea what they're talking about.
But the thing we're doing, hot take it away, we base it almost on the scale of like not hot being of like the bushfire rating is, you know, blue, green, yellow, orange, piping hot, red. Your husband couldn't even see how hot the take is.
Mate, it is. If we're still on tomorrow, I'll be thankful. This is career-ending stuff, Alicia Barr. Okay, so
you are putting us into the hot seat. And I do understand an element, and I'm not saying this is the particular one, of people not wanting to be coddled in their disabilities.
The people, exactly.
People want to be able to do and be seen to be able to do absolutely everything to their ability, but I also understand how they could be somewhat annoyed if people said, you're faking it, you just need to try harder.
I'm not saying they're faking it, I'm just saying that there's an ability, some people might be able to overcome aspects of it.
Well, there was that amazing ad recently of a actress with Down syndrome who explains that you think I can't do this, so therefore you don't let me try, so therefore I don't. So your reality is, you know, creating what I can do. And if you believe in me, I am able to do these things.
Where it
so
sounds like you're
maybe
the opposite.
There's a little element of that. Of
yes,
that.
Yeah. I'm their biggest advocate. That's yeah, what I'm sure. saying. Like, I'm the biggest supporter.
You're saying you can do it, and he's saying I can't, and then you're saying, no, you can, now do it.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about being a drill sergeant in the army, Alicia Barr?
Yeah. It sounds like a lot of tough love happening here. Does what sort of colour blindness does your husband have?
So he's just like red-green colour blind. So like okay. The pretty standard stuff. Like he was born with it.
So he's never seen red or green. He just knows the general muted colours of those things.
I think so, yeah.
Does he see them as a grey kind of thing?
I don't know.
Alicia, have you ever talked well? To your husband at all? Or is that, what's going on here?
Well, like I have, like, and that's why, like, and because whenever I ask him, like, well, what colour do you think that is? He's always right. So that's why it just doesn't seem like it's that bad. But then, okay, I will say though, my dad is also colourblind and it's like a completely different ball game. Like his colourblindness is like all random colours. You can't, like, he's came from a fever. So he was born with colour vision and then lost his colour vision from a really bad fever.
Whoa.
So his is just like pure chaos. Yeah.
So okay, your sample size of people with colour blindness, one of them you reckon could just do a bit better. The other one you reckon is
it's like so far gone.
Fault.
It sounds to me like you just think your husband's lazy. That's what that sounds like.
You said that, not me.
That's Matt's hot take.
That's a hot take. Partner thinks their husband is lazy. Wow.
Oh, no.
No, but it's
good. He listens as well, so this is going to go great tomorrow.
Well, if you would like to call up and give your own hot take, Alicia's husband there, please feel free to, because we do like your own. Matt.m.alex, get in touch, and I'm giving that a very, very piping hot grey colour because that was an absolute scolder, Alicia. So thank you very much for getting in touch with Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Well, it's time for Australia's sixth favourite game show. That is right. It is time for...
Name That Thing.
Oh, geez, the controversy that spilled out after last week's game. And you know what? I'm loving it.
Bron, did that make the final edit of our live 1,000th episode?
It certainly did. And people, since the episode has aired, have only come back in more anger.
I really thought people would come back in support. Okay, so people are still angry.
Minimal support.
Yeah, okay.
All right, does that mean that this will be the last ever episode?
No, it will not. We are going to keep naming that thing. Now, here we go. Are you ready?
Mate, it sounds like we're a belligerent, you know, old people not willing to change with the times.
Yes.
Who will just start talking to more and more tumbleweeds in
yes.
the podcast realm.
Yes.
Until we get given a job on... Talkback station starting with a 2 that no one listens to, but they give us a golden microphone anyway.
Do you know what this segment is? I'm going to go down like it's a small thing you wrap around your collar, what you get on your skin if you sunbake, and when you feel grossed out by a date's behaviours. That's right, a Titan ick. I'm going to go down... on this Titan ick.
Oh,
like,
boy.
There's no tomorrow. So we're going to keep playing. Here we go. Headline number one, world record for matchstick Eiffel Tower after U-turn. Yes, did you hear the news that came out of Paris a couple of weeks ago in which a gentleman by the name of Mr. Plaud, Richard Plaud, a model enthusiast, built the world's tallest matchstick building, which was a replica of the Eiffel Tower. The Guinness World Records said, nope, I know that you've spent 8 years doing this, but no. It's not, it doesn't qualify. There was contesting of that call. The Guinness World Records did a U-turn on their original reasoning for, you know, saying it didn't qualify. And they've now said, that's right, this 7.19-meter Eiffel Tower replica built out of matchsticks is now the official world record holder.
They did use the wrong matchsticks and they're like, oh, please give it to me. And they're like, yeah, all right.
Well, basically, so no, what happened?
No, you've just explained what happened. Just emphasize the word you want us to hear and move on to the next story, can you please?
Wait, what's the thing, Matt? What are we looking for here?
It was because he used matchsticks that were not commercially available. Because instead of, he originally started to build it by cutting off the little match heads. So he got in touch with the manufacturer and said, hey, can you just make me some of these matchsticks without the match heads on them? And they were like, sure. And then the Guinness World Record were like, no, that doesn't count. You can't just to make your own stuff.
Right.
So there you go. That was what the debacle was about. All right, here we go. Headline number
Bron
2.
Bron asked you a question, Matt. What are we looking for?
I've just told you, world record.
No. Is it a book? Is it a person? Is it a...
This segment that's already getting panned for being bad. How is it getting worse week to week?
We're looking for a band.
Okay.
We're looking for a band.
I've got it
Matchbox
already.
20.
Yeah. Oh, damn it.
Yep. Done.
Damn it! Do you want to hear the other two headlines?
No, let's move on.
I wanted to make it easy because all the people were saying I was making it too cryptic. So I thought, oh, Matchbox 20 is a nice and easy thing. I should have led with my other ones.
Boxing match.
Australia's only two-story beach box is up for sale in the Mornington Peninsula.
Right. And what was the 20?
Well, there's a 420-foot asteroid passed Earth just the other day. So there you go.
All right. Well, there it is. Everyone's favourite. So send in all of your love to matt.ad.alex.
Okay. I need to rally my supporters now. Hey, hey.
Cricket.
You're all very vocal about the Barrier Reef. All right. When you think that the Barrier Reef is about to go, oh, don't you love signing a bloody petition for that? But when Australia's sixth favourite game show is on the chopping block, I hear nothing from you absolute monsters. Okay. So stand up for what you believe in and get in touch about Name That Thing.
All right. Do we save the segment or let it get bleached into non-existence? Please let us know. Until then, let's move on with the show.
Well, Alex Dyson, the figures are out, and it's a very important statistic that only ever comes around once every 4 years, and that is...
I thought it was going to be like the unemployment rates or the, interest rates.
No, all the levels of inflation, even though the interest rates might be anticipated to go down. I think the US government suggested they were going to make three interest rate cuts this year, but no, this is a more important figure. That is the amount of condoms that will be supplied to Olympians at the 2024 Paris Games.
Interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it?
It's the only... I've heard about these before, and there's some quite eye-watering stats.
Yeah, so 300,000 for, I believe, 15,000 athletes. So that's apparently two condoms?
I think it's two a day per athlete.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
Oh, come on. I thought these people were athletes.
Two a day?
Two a day. Come on, guys. Come on.
What's your record?
Yeah, what are they going to use for the afternoon?
Why is it the Olympic Village's responsibility to bring these along for them? Because, like, if anyone's traveling or going camping, are they giving everyone a toothbrush? Are they giving everyone?
I can answer this question for you.
Like, so headache tablets?
The tradition of providing condoms at the Olympics actually started in the 1988 Seoul Olympics to raise awareness for HIV and AIDS, okay? Right. Because that was the height of importance to remain, safe in that sort of particular situation. Now, there was an intimacy ban in the last games, because they were in the midst of the pandemic. So they were saying no one's
putting
boinking
out some different
at all.
Type of masks for the competitors.
Yeah. So here's the question.
Type of globule stoppers.
Apparently 150,000 condoms were still passed out, though, to people. That's what CBS reports. Even though there was an intimacy ban. So what they were using them for, I don't know. But here's my real question. Why don't we just let all the Olympians have babies together?
We shouldn't be discouraging them from procreating is what you're saying.
No, we have got the best athletes on the planet in one place. We could be creating like a superhuman race.
All right, so there's already been controversy about the enhanced games of some billionaire who's like, I'm going to do a games and anyone can use the drugs that they want and we'll see how fast everyone and high everyone can go.
Yeah.
You reckon that stuff that go the old-fashioned way and just create a generation of super babies based off these incredible athletes?
How badass will the Olympics be in 20 years from now if we just let them do whatever they want?
There's no way people could get up into that echelon. What about us? What about us little mutts, these little runts of the litters? What chance do we have?
We're going to have bloody 10-foot platform divers that can run 9.98, you know? It's like we weightlifters who can, slot one from 18 yards out. Like,
so
this
you're
is...
saying we should do this, but it shouldn't be like the best javelin thrower with the best javelin thrower. It should be the javelin throwers should also be the equestrian. So then you'll be really good at riding a horse, but also chucking spears off it as you go.
Yes. I mean, this is our opportunity to create the biggest, most baddest humans alive.
Okay. So someone like a beach volleyballer, you'd cross them with what, like... archery?
The way I see it, it's like, when you're playing Mario Kart, and you got your Marios, we're all about speed.
And then he's in the middle.
Your Warios or whatever that are all about...
He's strength.
Strength. Yeah, and then you got your Toads that are just good at everything. We could have an army of Toads.
I thought Toad was Speed. I went Toad and Mario Kart.
Oh, Yoshi. Sorry, I think Yoshi. Yoshi's the good, the all-rounder. We could have a whole Olympics of all-rounders. And if we wanted to, just the Australian team could do it with each other. And then we'd have a really good team.
Yeah, we shouldn't be giving other countries this idea.
Yeah.
Why are you giving other countries this idea?
Forget what I said, okay? But to all the Australians out there, you know what I mean.
All right, why restrict it to sports people? Why can't we get the best, you know, scientists together?
I'll tell you where we should be giving out all these free condoms. Take the Olympics condoms and put them at schoolies. All right, let's... We don't need any babies coming out of schoolies. We need babies coming out of the Olympics.
All right. Okay. Where would you direct the shipment of condoms from the Olympic Village? Okay. Which organization would you want pallets and pallets of prophylactics rocking up?
Yeah, we okay. don't...
Would you want them to get... turn up at the, you know, the Summernats? Would you want them to turn them up at the Australian Greens Party Nationalist Conference or something?
We need where's somewhere where, like, supermines come? Like, you know, like the actual expo, the World Expo 88 or whatever. Like, whatever some big invention place is. That's the Nobel Prize Awards. While we're handing out Nobel Prizes, let's let them do it all, you know?
Yeah, we wouldn't want to stop them from procreating, though.
We should be, when you win a gold medal, the after party, there should just be an after party just for gold medalists where, like, Craig David plays and it gets real sexy real quick. Just let him go.
Like people tapping their pockets. Whoops, I forgot to bring them tonight.
Yeah, and then just see what happens. I'm in.
All right. Thank you very much for listening to All Day Breakfast, but... everyone has been waiting around. They've been wanting to know what is the final joke
about the
film industry Matt O'Kine did on stage at the Screen Producers Australia conference on the Goldie. Matt O'Kine.
I've got to do it all again just to get into this rhythm of things, okay? So I say this crowd, you know, these cruise shortages, they're driving me crazy. My wife says, get a grip. I says, how? I can't afford it. Right? Then she says, no, don't worry. Okay, Matt, let's just kiss and make up. I say, makeup. They're going to want 3 trucks. All right. She says, okay, don't worry about it. Look, I'll just do something extra nice for you. And I says, yeah, some extras would be nice. I got crowd scenes looking like Homer Simpson's head.
There we go. If you need an MC for whatever industry you're in. Actually, can we do that? Can we get someone, if you're having a conference or, like, even just a hypothetical conference, let us know and we'll try and make up some good jokes for your industry that you can sort of try out on your co-workers. How about that?
Oh, my God.
We'll come up with some rippers. I mean, we're in great form there.
That's it. The all-day breakfast kitchen is closed. Got something to add to the show? Slide into our DMs at matt.and.alex.